Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet. Boy, I'm really sorry about this, guys. I just don't know how to do it faster where it would still be useful for you and meaningful, because you'll just go with your head whirling out of this. So we start today right at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Lamed Beis, last line, Boi Minei Mirab Chiyah Bar Abba. So we asked Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba, what would be the din if after all of these halachas, you did it wrong, and you forgot, and you left a kedera agabi kira, and you let it cook on Shabbos. Can you eat it or not? Now, the question obviously would be true according to whatever Mandi Omar Asers. Okay, so Rashi says according to Mandi Omar Asers, everybody takes that to mean that he's going according to the Rabbon, and I don't think that's what Rashi means. Rashi is simply saying, whatever the situation is, according to whomever. So in other words, if according to Hananiah, what would be the din if it wasn't cooked k'machol ben drusoy and you left it? According to the Chachamim, what if it was left, even though it was already k'machol ben drusoy? Then depending on which shita you hold, what's considered to be fully cooked? Mitztamik v'ralo or mitztamik v'yafalo? So in other words, whatever shita you hold, what would be the din if you were over and did it? That's all that Rashi is trying to say. For some reason, the Achronim make this big fuss as to why Rashi is insisting that it's going only according to Hananiah, which is certainly is not the shita of the Tosfos, who mentions clearly not Kamachal Mendersai. Anyway, Ishtik v'lo amar lo v'lo midi. Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba didn't have an answer. He wanted to research it. And then the next day he came out and he gave a drusha that he felt addressed the issue. And he said, okay, the Mishnah says like this, Beferish, Hamavashel b'Shabbat b'Shogeg yochal b'Mezid lo yochal. If somebody literally cooked on Shabbos, now that's not what we're talking about over here, obviously, we're talking about this Gzeirah d'Rabbanan of Shehiyah. But what if somebody actually cooked on Shabbos? If he did it b'Shogeg, it's mutter to eat it. If he did it b'Mezid, it's usur to eat it. It's a whole question that we went through when we learned Chulin about the different machlokas, for whom is it mutter? The same person who did it for other people? And when is it mutter? On the same Shabbos? Do you have to wait b'chtei shiasa? And so on and so forth, right? Okay, but that's not what's important over here. For Reb Chiyah Bar Abba's drasha, what was important is that Reb Chiyah Bar Abba said, okay, that's the case in the Mishnah, but in this case, it makes absolutely no difference. Loshna, if it was done b'mezid, or if it was done b'shogeg. And that's all he said, and then he got off of the lectern and left everybody to figure out what? Because what do you mean it makes no difference? In what direction? Is it better or is it worse? Loshna meaning what? Oh, God. So my Veloshna. So Rabba and Rav Yosef said, well, obviously what he was saying is that since the Mishnah was only referring to a case where a guy was over in the Diraisa, so here it doesn't matter whether it was Bemezit, whether it was Beshogeg. We're not going to give the guy a knas that he's not allowed to eat on Shabbos. I mean, he didn't really do anything that was so terrible. He just left it on the fire before Shabbos. That's the way we understand it. So then it means Latera. In other words, Mevasha, where the guy literally was Mevasha on Shabbos, and was over in Isidir, I said, obviously, Bemezid lo yochal. But over here, the Lokov in Maisi just left it there from before Shabbos. So even Bemezid, he could eat it. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, no, just the opposite. That actually, what Reb Chiyah Bar Abba was trying to say is, but in this case, you have to be Machmer, even though it was Bishogeg. Huh? Yes, I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to Mevashel, we're not choshed somebody's going to go be Mechalel Shabbos on purpose and claim that it was an accident and that way have his food. We're not choshed that Yisrael are Mechalel Shabbos. So Mevashel, he's not going to try to fool us or pretend the lo asi la rume. So over there, if it's Beshogeg, we can assume it really was Beshogeg and therefore you can eat it. But over here, people don't take the Rabbanan so much. Okay, I put it on the fire before Shabbos. Leave me alone. I have no intention of being chayta b'gachol and cut out the gezeris over here. So I left it on for before Shabbos. What do you care? Right? So over there, well, you weren't allowed to. No, I forgot. I meant to take it off. I forgot. Yeah, but we don't believe him. Because he can be pretending that he forgot. So then if he's able to claim that he forgot, so then he'll never be machmer on this. So over there, we came to Rabbana, maybe we're machmer to be kinesinim even b'shege. And therefore, b'shege nami lo yochal. So it's actually worse where you can try to fool yourself or others. Okay, so Meisei says the Gemara, yes, you know what? This pshat of Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak seems to be absolutely correct. And Rabbah and Reb Yosef are wrong, because take a look at the Braita. If you forgot a pot of food and you left it on a kira without doing grifa v'katima before Shabbos. You cooked it on Shabbos. The din is you can eat it b'shogeg and you cannot eat it b'meisit. Now, this doesn't work out according to anybody because Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, first of all, I mean, the whole idea of Reb Chiya Bar Ava is that he says it makes no difference if it's b'shogeg or b'meisit. Over here, it says it does make a difference. So it seems to be running counter to the entire psak of Reb Chiya Bar Ava. And therefore, we should throw the whole thing out. The reason that we don't throw the whole thing out is because, as we're going to see, there was, in fact, a time when things were mutter. And later, in the time of Reb Chiya Bar Ava, they had made a gezeira to aser it. So therefore, we do not have a problem with the fact that this contradicts the shita of Reb Chiya Bar Ava in its essence, that by saying that there is a difference, he said there's no difference. But we do definitely have a problem with the fact that Reb Chiya Bar Ava, the way Rabba and Reb Yosef were explaining it, he was saying that you can eat it even b'mezid. Well, that for sure is not true, because over here we're talking about before the Gezerah, and it says b'mezid lo yochal. When do we say this? We're talking about chamin, meaning hot water that wasn't completely cooked, or a tafshil that wasn't cooked, but chamin that were completely cooked, and a cholent that was completely cooked. So Rabbi Meir says you can eat it, whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid, you could still eat it. If it was completely cooked, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, chamin, it's not a problem, because it's mitztamik v'ralo. But a tafshil, even though it was fully cooked, if it's a good cholent, the more it's going to be cooked, the better it's going to be. And it's mitztamik v'yafelo. And anything that mitztamik v'yafelo, like kruv or polim or boser taruf. Why do we say boser taruf? Because if it's taruf, it means you didn't intend to give it as a nice piece of meat to an oreach. Why would you have cut it up into a hamburger? So because of that, if there it's mitzamik v'yafalo and it's oser, and kolam mitzamik v'ralo only is mutter. Fine. I don't want to get into the details, says the Gemara, but it does say over here that if it was a tafshil, it was lo bishel kol tzorcho, that the din is that you're allowed to eat it only if it was b'shogeg and not if it's b'mezid. Now, Reb Chiya Bar Ava said it makes no difference, right? So, I mean, did Reb Chiya Bar Ava completely mess up? No, because at least it can work out according to Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, look, when people started to pretend that they left it b'shogeg when really they had left it b'mezid, we were machmir. So at least this works out. Originally, b'shogeg, we allowed you to eat it. And then when people were fooling around, then we asked it and we made a gezera. So kan kodim gezera, kan liacher gezera. But Aliba, Rabba, and Rav Yosef, this is completely against everything that Reb Chiya Bar Ava said. Because Reb Chiya Bar Ava said that it's lo shana, and over here, it's definitely usher if it's b'mezid. And if we're talking about before the Gezerah, that's a problem, because then mezid is a problem. If we're talking about the after the Gezerah, then the whole thing is a problem. Even shogeg is a problem, because after the Gezerah, we usher shogeg. Whoa, that is a problem. Yep, kasha. Okay, I don't know how to square the way Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are learning here. I mean, Reb Chiya Bar Ava would have been completely wrong. Anyway, what was this gezer that we're referring to? Well, as we already know, the Omer of Yehuda Shmuel, Omer of Abba, Omer of Kahn, Omer Rav, originally, betchila, you Omerim, they used to say that somebody's mevashel b'shabbos b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal, and we applied that din even if a guy forgot food that wasn't cooked properly on a kira that was not gorov v'katam. But then a lot of people started to play around. Mishrabu mashin b'mezid, and they pretended, no, they, we forgot. So then the Rabbanu made a knas even on the shocheach. But okay, fine. Now can I just get back to the brisa that you just brought? Because isn't the brisa a contradiction to the whole brisa that yesterday we brought? Remember, we brought the way that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir understand the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So I understand Rabbi Meir contradicts himself completely. And Rabbi Yehuda contradicts himself completely. Over here, Rabbi Meir is saying you can eat either tafshil or chamim, at least if it's completely cooked, even if it was left on a kira that was actually not gorov v'katam. But before he said, you can only leave chamin on a kira. You cannot leave the tafshil at all. And Rabbi Yehuda said here that if you left, even if it was completely cooked and it's mitztamik v'ralo, it's aser. And before he says, it's mutter to leave if it's completely cooked on the kira. So I don't get it. So Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Meir, that obviously is not a problem. Because, I mean, there were two different cases. Here we're talking about, initially, right, l'chatchila. What's the din? So over there he said the din is you can't leave a tafsho. Over here we're talking about b'diavad. So b'diavad, Rabbi Meir is saying, if you left it there, okay, you're allowed to eat it as long as you didn't mean to leave it there. Rabbi Yehuda is also not a problem. Because obviously, in there, before we were talking about the explanation where, remember, that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir were only being matir at Kira, that was Grufa Viketuma, not according to Hananya. But remember, in our Mishnah, we said, but our Tana holds that you could do it even if it wasn't Grufa Viketuma, even though he's buying into Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. So over there, we were talking about a Kira that was Goruv Vikotam. But over here, we're talking specifically after our Psak, like Hananya, that it wasn't Goruv and wasn't Kotam. So if it was Goruv or Kotam, so there Rabbi Yehuda is, of course, it's Goruv or Kotam. You're allowed to leave even Tafshel on it, even if it's Mitztamik V'yafalo, as Rabbi Yehuda said earlier. But if you're talking about that you didn't, it wasn't Goruv or Kotam, so then even B'diavad, he's saying you're not allowed to eat it. That makes perfectly good sense. Now, here comes something that's very strange. All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, Iboilu, what would be the din if you were either on purpose and you left it? What's the din? Is there a knas or not? Now, what is that supposed to mean? We just discussed this whole daf. We were discussing, is there a knas? This is what we just got finished. How was Gemara bringing up over here? Is there a knas or isn't there? So all of the Rishonim have different approaches. Some have different girsos. And the simplest approach is to learn like the Ritva. When I say simplest, I mean the least complex. It's not the easiest to say that the Gemara means. But what the Ritva understands is like this, that what we're talking about is where somebody was Avar Veshaha, but he didn't leave it there. In other words, he did the Isser of leaving it, and it was a Mitztamik V'yafeh, but he took it off before it ever got to a case in which it got better. So the question is a very brilliant question. Is the knas for the act, or is the knas on the food? If the knas is for the act of leaving the food, then even if in the end the food never improved and he didn't leave it long enough for it to be mitztamik v'yafeh, it would be usher because he was over on the isser. Masha Einkein, if the Rabbanan only assered the knas on the food that had been actually mitztamik v'yafeh, so then if he took it off before it was a mitztamik v'yafeh, then there wouldn't be a problem. This is how brilliantly the Ritva understands the question. What exactly was the knas? How did we aim the knas? What was it focused on? And then the way that he understands the raya will follow his understanding of the question. So Toshma, Yomer Shmo Barnas and Omer Rabbi Chanina. Once Rabbi Yossi went to Barnea's neighborhood at Tzipori, and he found over there that there was some hot water that had been left on top of Akira. And he said, that's okay. He didn't answer them for using the hot water. But he found that there were these eggs that had been left on the Kira. And they were just getting dried up. And they were mitsumakot already. Now, this is the important point according to the Ritva. Since they were already mitsumakot, they had actually been very, very condensed before this was done. So he told them that it's usser. Now, I'm assuming that when he told them it was usser, he told them it was usser for them to eat, meaning on this Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat those eggs, in which case you would see that even though the eggs had already been mitsumakot from before, and therefore, despite the fact that the guy thought he was doing something that was going to improve the eggs, they didn't really improve because it turned out that they were mitsumakot. Nonetheless, he asked them from eating it because the guy had been over on an isser. To which the Gemara responds, not necessarily. Maybe when it says he assered it, he meant he told them, hey guys, don't ever do that again, meaning next Shabbos, don't do it. But he didn't asser on this Shabbos since the eggs, in fact, had already been mitsumakot. Okay, so we don't have a raya. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Eggs? Isn't that, don't eggs get disgusting if you just keep cooking them and cooking them? It's good to leave eggs around? And Beitzim Mitzumakot, that's called Mitztamkot V'yafelehem? Says the Gemara, oh man, absolutely, because Reb Chama Bar Chanina said, you know, once Rebbe and I came in the same location, and they brought these eggs, Evila Fanenu Beitzim, that were so much sumakot, they had condensed these big eggs till they were the size of Ozradin, which are these, you know, these tiny little apples that, they look like miniature apples, very, very bitter. And we ate a lot of them, let me tell you. Woo, I must have had 50 of those eggs. But apparently, if we ate a lot of them, they must have been pretty tasty, right? So forget about your protein shakes and move on to Beitzim HaMetzumakot. Turns out if you eat 50 of those, there's 6 grams of protein in every one. Just imagine how much protein you get from a casual snack before breakfast. Okay, getting back now to our Mishnah. So we finally... we've been talking about Shehiya. We never talked about Chazorah yet. And at last, we're coming to talk about Chazorah. So let's start talking about Chazorah now. Beit Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. You're even allowed to put it back onto the oven. So, Omrif Sheshes, let me tell you something. If you hold like Beit Hillel and you're allowed to be Machzir, you could even Machzir on Shabbos. Now, this, according to Rashi, is very problematic because Rashi always understood that the only issue of Chazorah was on Shabbos. So what do you mean? Of course, what do you mean even on Shabbos? And what? Not to mention Friday? Well, what kind of issue could there be on being Magzir on Friday? That's ridiculous. So therefore, Rashi has to be Masber the Sugya. Then remember, we brought this up when we first opened up the parak. Rashi has to be Masber the Sugya. That the difference over here is between the night of Shabbos and the day of Shabbos. And when it says afilu b'Shabbat, it means even for Shabbos in the day. So what does that mean? So Rashi understands like this. We have a general halacha of michzi kimavasha. Michzi kimavasha, remember, was one of your terms that you were supposed to write down your terminology. And that was a gezerah, besides the gezerah of Shema Yachateh, to do something that looks as if you are cooking. Now, let me ask you a question. You've got something that is fully cooked, and it is solid. It's got no liquid in it. Are you allowed to heat it up on Shabbos? Yes. Are you allowed to put it on the fire on Shabbos? No. Why not? If you're allowed to heat it up, and you're not really cooking it because ein bishul achar bishul, as we're going to see later, then what exactly is the problem of putting it on the fire? The problem is that it's mirzei kemavasha. It looks as if you are cooking. So because of that, in every case of a chazora, Rashi has the problem of, okay, but how are people supposed to know that this is not just cooking up something that was already in the fridge and you decided you want to warm it up on Shabbos? So therefore, according to Rashi, the chiddush over here is that even if you had taken off the stuff on Shabbos in the daytime, you take it off, so you took it off maybe earlier, right? You took it off on Friday night, okay? So if you took it off on Friday night, I understand it. You need to have cholent in the morning. You're certainly going to be putting it back on. But suppose you had a little bit of cholent already in the morning and you took it off. So now it's by no means clear that you are intending on putting it back for another meal of cholent, right? So the chiddush over here is that you might have thought that if you took it off in the morning, so then the original shehiya, which we were matir, and we said that makes it clear that it's not michzi kemevashel, and even if you took it off, you could put it back on because everybody knows you need it for the morning. Fine, but if you took it already off and you had a little seudah early in the day of cholent, so then maybe you're not allowed to put it back on because then it looks as if you just decided to eat up something. No, not true. If something you had been masheh is still warm, then there's no problem, even if you took it off of the fire on Shabbos, to put it back on Shabbos. Tosfos Tainas, if that's the issue, then why didn't it say biyom? Why did it say on Shabbos? What do you mean afilu b'Shabbos? It should have said afilu biyom. I mean, of course, when you say the words afilu b'Shabbos, you're making it very clear that there is a problem even not on Shabbos. That's the point. So in other words, b'chol would be the case where we would originally have thought that chazora is mutter b'chol, but not on Shabbos at all. So comes along the Gemara now to say, no, even on Shabbos you could put it on. And it's gufa, a different understanding, which you'll recall we mentioned earlier, that according to Tosfos, there's a point in the day where chazora would be a problem b'chol if it was not goruf v'katum. And that was close enough to Shabbos where the food would, in fact, never have been able to have been cooked that close to Shabbos. So over there we're choshe, that if you're coming now, you're taking it off earlier, and you're putting it back on, when you put it back on, you may note that it's not quite hot enough, which, by the way, often happens when you're using the plata, right? And you say, oh boy, you know what? I better cook it up before. So you take it off and you cook it up to put it back onto the plata. So that type of thing is a gezeira that if you're going to be machzer it before Shabbos, b'chol, and it's close to Shabbos over there, we would think that maybe it was usser to be machzer, and therefore you'd need grifa v'ketima. Fine. The question is on Shabbos for sure you're not allowed to put it back on because of another reason, because over there it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. Kamash malan, that no, you're allowed to be machzer before Shabbos. And that's b'chol, and you're allowed to be ma'aser, even on Shabbos. So according to Beit Hillel, there's no difference between the day of Shabbos and the night of Shabbos, according to Tosfos. The issue of chazara was an issue even before Shabbos, and even according to Hananya, you had to make sure that it was goruf v'katum, which is quite surprising when you first hear it. What? You think that you can do whatever you want as long as it's not Shabbos yet. Not true. So then we would have this problem of chazara, liba de Hananya. And okay, so we have two very different approaches over here to this part of the sugya. And Rav Oshaya also holds that you could be ma'azir even on Shabbos, because Rav Oshaya says, you know what? We were once learning by Rav Chiya HaGadol, and he was all the way upstairs on the fifth floor, and he wanted some tea, and we ran down to the kitchen, and the kitchen was in the basement, and we brought him up a whole kettle filled with hot water from the basement all the way up to the fifth floor. We poured the water into his wine, because remember, you did meziga in those days, and doing meziga with hot water was considered to be kosher for the wine. So we did the meziga, and we took the kettle, and we went back to the kitchen in the basement, and we put it back onto the kira. And he didn't say we did anything wrong. He said that was fine. So you see that you can be ma'aser even b'Shabbos. Omer b'zreka, Omer b'abba, Omer rabbi tadai. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, let's not forget that there's another very important point over here. That's only because you kept the kettle in your hand the whole time. You never put it down. But if you would have put it down, once you put it down, you were basically mevatel your original shehiya. And if you're mevatel your original shehiya, you can never put anything back, because at this point, that's not called chazora, that's called mirzik mevashel. And therefore, you better make sure that you were not meinichan agabikarka, because if meinichan bekarka, it would be aser. Says Rabbi Ami, oh, come on, he's a big machmir, Rabbi Tadai, you know? His psak over here, he speaks only for Rabbi Tadai, not for anybody else. Let me tell you right now, it was the Garmi Hudiyavan. Rabbi Chia quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, even if you took something off of your plata and you put it down on the ground, you can pick it up again and put it back on, as long as it's still warm. Now, actually, this is a big machlokas. And Pligibar Rav Dimei Rav Shmu Bar Yehuda, both of them had different ways of quoting Rabbi Elazar. Both of them claim that Rabbi Elazar said what they said. One of them said that if it's still in your hand, it's mutter, but if you put it on the ground, it's aser. And the other one said that if you put it on the ground, it's even then it would be mutter, which is equivalent to the machlokas that we just had between Rabbi Tadai and Rabbi Ami. And there's one other issue that we haven't taken into consideration. So here we're getting into the details of chazora. All right, what's the other issue? So we've talked about chazara, whether chazara is mutter for chamin or even for tafshil. That was the issue that we had earlier discussed. Now we're talking about whether chazara is an issue b'chol or whether it's only an issue on Shabbos. That's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Then the question about chazara on Leil Shabbos versus chazara on Yom Shabbos. Then the question of chazara, whether it's odon b'yodo or whether it's even inichan b'karka. Now we're addressing yet a new issue. What was your intent at the time that you took it off? Was your intent, and here comes the psychological question again, was your intent when you took off the cholent to finish your cholent now, and you only want to put it back on because it ends up that you left over some cholent? Or was your intent lechatchila to take off the cholent in order to take some out, and you always realized that you were going to put it back on? This is a completely different issue. Even what you said, that if the guy is still holding that cholent pot in his hand, and only then, please mute yourself, Alon, and only then is it okay. This is only if lechatchila you took it off in order to put it back on. That's called da'ato lahachzir, another munach. Please, we refer to that all the time. Was da'ato lahachzir or not? So it's only if da'ato was lahachzir. But if ain da'ato lahachzir, you cannot put it back on. Even if it's still in your hand, you can't put it back on. Mashma, that if you put it down on the ground, even adaita lahachzir would be aser. Now there's another version of this, which goes like this. Ikeri yamre, that what Chizkiah said in the name of Abaya was like this. The din that it's usher, once you put it down on the ground, that's dafka if you put it on the ground where you did not have in mind that you were going to be putting it back onto the plata. But if you put it on the ground and you had in mind the whole time that I mean to put it back on, and it's daita lahachzir, aval daita lahachzir mutar. According to this, it's the exact opposite. That would mean that when it's still in your hand, it would be mutar even if you did not have daita lahachzir initially, which is the exact opposite case as far as the halacha lemaisa, big machlokasin. Halacha lemaisa, in actuality, the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah ends up paskening lechumra on both of these. So in other words, if you didn't keep it in your hand, and if you didn't have in mind daita lahachzir, then lechatchila you should not be machzir. But he holds that mi'ikra din, that's not how we pasken, because of the Ramah, and that mi'ikra, then it's mutter, even if you remain yachagabe karka, or if it was wasn't daita lahachzir, and therefore, in a pinch, you could be semech, you don't have anything else, or something like that, your new orachim come in, you would be allowed to be machzir, even if it was in yachagabe karka, or even if it was ein daita lahachzir lechatchila, even though we try to be machmer on that, and people are quite careful about it. Anyway, it's all very nice to talk about extremes, okay? The extreme is you're holding it in your hand is one extreme. And the other extreme is you've set it down on the ground and now it's totally and completely off of the agenda, okay? But, I mean, there are definitely things that are not in the extreme. I mean, suppose you hung it up on a hanger, you know? You didn't put it down on the ground. Maybe it's just too heavy to hold. I don't know. So, I mean, is that just because I hang it up? Does that mean that it's the same as putting it down on the ground and then that's ipso facto considered to be a bittul of the initial shehiyah and I'm not allowed to put it back? Or how about if I look, I didn't have kayak to hold it, so I put it down on the kitchen counter, you know? Is that same as the ground? Does it mean like putting it down in any old way is mevatel it? Or it's only putting on the ground? We're over there. Okay, it's out of sight, out of mind, so to speak. What would be the din? Is that similar to being holding it in your hand still? Or is that similar to Nichanagabe Karka? Boy, Ravashi says, I got another question. How about if you kept it in your hand, right, but you poured it into a different pot? Could you put the new pot back on? Or is putting it into a new pot or putting water into a new kettle, is that by definition considered to be a bittul of the original Shia because now it looks like you're doing a new cooking? What would be the din over there? Binan mi mecham la mecham mahu. All of these questions are teku. They remain standing questions. Now, I don't know if you have the willingness to open up your minds to yet another issue, which would allow us to start this Mishnah. I hate falling behind, but if you're willing, I think we could at least start, because it's such an exciting thing to show the new interrelationship between the fuel and the kli, which is an area that we never explored before and which is only explored finally here in this sugya, where the Mishnah actually discusses the various types of kli. So if you share my excitement, look, I didn't see anybody give me a thumbs down, and I only saw people giving me a thumbs up. So, you know, it's very hard to be negative when there's so many positives. So let me at least start. And when you start getting really bored, start giving me a thumbs down. Okay. So Richie is ready to introduce the sugya with a brilliant... And even a loan will give us at least 5 minutes. Oh, 1 minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. What do you mean 1 minute? 1 minute is only 10:29. That's not even meant to be finished. You're telling me you were koveya shir in the middle of the daf yomi? So then you should cancel it. Okay. So now we have two additional discussions. We've been discussing Akira. How about a tanur? A tanur shiziku abakashu begivava. So over there, even though you only used the lowest level of fuel that doesn't seem to leave anything behind, like stubble or straw, lo yitain, you can't put food not on top of it and not inside of it. So now for the first time, we are openly discussing where you're putting the food. Remember, earlier, we made a big deal in the discussion that wasn't in the Mishnah about the Kira, whether you were allowed to put something inside the Kira, and that was the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether that gets into the problem of Atmona and Hosafas Hevel, or it's just a problem of Akira maybe retaining more heat inside and giving it a din of a tanur, like Tosfos says. Fine, but over here, beferish, you're not allowed to put something inside of that tanur, even though you would think, my God, I mean, I barely heated it. All I used was kash and gavava. Lo yitain bein mitocho, bein mi'agavav, which note seems to very conspicuously leave out what the din would be on the side of the tanur, because it mentions for the first time only the top or inside. Now, how about a kupach? Remember that a kupach is the same idea as a kira, except it does not have enough room to put two pots on top. It's a small single burner device, which because it's a single burner, it has a tendency to retain heat more than the double burner, which has a different ratio of space to fuel and a different ratio of escape because it has two holes for pots on top. So therefore, a kupach maintains its heat more than the kira does. And therefore, as we're going to see in the Gemara, it has a unique relationship between the kupach and the fuel that was used for the kupach, which gives a different dinim dependent on the fuel. So if you use kash begivava on a kupa, it has exactly the same din as the kirayim. We use the word kirayim to make it clear that it means a double burnered kira, but a kirayim is a kira. But a kupach that only was heated with kafa gevava doesn't have any more heat retention. If it was heated begefet ubeitzim, then it's considered to be the same as the tanur. Now, the question is, the initial assumption that we're making over here is that we cannot be talking about a grufa viketuma over here because of the fact that if it was grufa, what's the difference what you originally used in it, for heaven's sakes? If the fuel currently is irrelevant because I've taken it all out, so then who would care? It must be referring to a case where it is not grufa. This is our initial take on this. Furthermore, we do not know any more than we did in the previous Mishnah whether this is going like Hananya or whether it's going like the Chachamim. According to Hananya, we would be referring over here to Chazara. Lo yitain would mean Chazara. According to the Chachamim, lo yitain would mean to be Mashheh. We know that that's true from the same Mishnah that's been behind us all along. That's the Mishnah back on Yud Ches, where over there we learned that you're allowed to put the bread into the tanur specifically if it would be Nikrim Upaneh. So that means that according to Hananya, you can be Shoyheh as long as it was Kamaicho Ben Drusoy, the equivalent in a tanur. And if you're talking about a tafshil, it would be the same thing in the tanur as it was in the on the Kira, in which case he'd have to learn the Mishnah here is talking about Chazara. The alternative, of course, is to learn that it's referring to the Chachamim. We're not going to go through the same thing again because we understand that however we take the initial opening Mishnah of Kira to be referring to, whatever Shita we want to go, we're going to go with that Shita throughout. So therefore, all discussions here throughout the Sugya about doing Shia or doing Chazara mean in the context of the way in which we understand the initial Mishnah. And we're not going to trouble you to start working the whole thing out over again. So says the Gemara, Tanur Shia Sikua. Now, Rav Yosef made the diak that we made. It says over here, Bein Mitocho, Bein Mi'agabav. Okay. So then that means whether it's inside, literally inside of the Tanur, or if it's literally on top. But if you just put it next to the side, then it's obviously okay. I mean, why else are we mentioning only inside or on top? So apparently the Mishnah is gufa coming to tell me putting something next to the outside of a hot oven is okay. Says Abaya, then how do you read the Mishnah? Kupach, let me read it with you, and you tell me what it means, okay? A kupach shesiku bekashu begevava has the same din as a kirayim. But if it was begefetu beitzim, then it has a din of a tanur, and it's osur. Now, listen to me carefully, says Abaye. Obviously, we are referring to a case where it was not gorofakotum, because otherwise, as I explained to you, I mean, it would be absurd to make a difference between the fuel if the fuel isn't even there anymore, right? So we're talking about over here that it was not gorofakotum. Okay. So you're saying that because of the fact that it's a kupa, therefore, we are saying that it's osur. But had it been a kira, it would have been mutter, right? Okay. Where are we talking about? On top of the Kira? Excuse me? On top of the Kira, it's mutter? Nobody says on top of the Kira, it's mutter. Again, whether that means for Chazorah, for Shehiya is irrelevant, whatever the case is. But certainly nobody says in the equivalent case of a top of a Kira, it's mutter. That was the whole opening Mishnah. A Kira is usher. The same way the Kupach is usher. What are you talking about? You're saying, well, a Kupach is not like a Kira. You know, Akira would be mutter. It is not mutter on Akira, okay? And if it's on top of it, so then obviously, Hakira Shari? So, Bemai, Ilema Agabav, and obviously Bemai, Ilema Kisha'ena Gorifakatum, which is the only reasonable case, as Tosis points out, it doesn't mean Ilema, because that's the only reasonable case. So you're trying to tell me that if this Kupach had been Akira and it wasn't Gorifakatuma, it would be mutter? Nobody is mutter it. Misharis befares your mission at its answer. Again, in whatever the case was, she or Chazara, as the case be. Elalav, so when it talked about the case, it meant to put it next to the kupach. And it says in the same discussion that if you used a piece of wood, then it would be like a tanner and usser. Where? On the side, darn it, on the side. Obviously, it's got to be talking about on the side. So your whole diak is completely wrong. Because if you're going to read the Mishnah like that, then you have no way of understanding the contrast between a kupach and a kira. Ha! So you see that it would be answered. Says Ravada Barav, excuse me, I take exception to your initial assumption. Your initial assumption is we've got to be talking about a case where it was gorofakotum. Because if it wasn't gorofakotum, who cares what the fuel was? And why would there be any difference between the kupach and the kira? Well, that's wrong. Actually, what we're talking about over here is where it is gorofakotum. And we're talking about a tanur which is gorofakotum. And basically, what it's saying, therefore, is very clear. So, harehu ketanur, because even though it's gorofakotum, agabav asur, because if it was a kira, if it would have been gorofakotum, then agabav would be mutar. That's what it's saying. Which, of course, now raises the question of, so, why actually does it make a difference? So we're going to see. We have a braita that actually backs Abaye, namely that you cannot put it on the side of a tanur because tanikavasada Abaye, tanur shisikua bakashu bigavava. Ain't some chimlo, you can't even put it next to the tanur. The ain't sarach lomar al gabah, for sure you can't put it on top of it, and absolutely for sure you can't put it inside of it. And needless to say that if you had heated it with real stuff like Gefet ve'etzim, then for sure it would be usur. all of the above. But a kupach, that was hisikua bekash ubigavava, you can put it on the side, but not on top. But begefet veitzim, you can't even put it on the side. Okay, according to Abaye, we're talking about only if it wasn't grufa veketuma, which we're not accepting. But the idea of putting it on the side is like Abaye. Omer le Rav Acha, brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. I just want to understand something over here. I understood it the way Abaye understood it, that if the fuel is still in there, then it makes a difference. But if you took the fuel out, I don't get, like, why is there a difference between a kupach and a kira? I mean, hi kupach echidah. I mean, how does this work, a kupach? I mean, if you give the kupach a din of a kira because of the fact that it's not trapezoidal and it doesn't maintain heat the way a tanur does, so then why doesn't it have the same din of a kira? Even if it was gefet ve'etim, as long as you took everything out, it should be the same as the kira. I mean, I don't get it. If you took stuff out, I think Abaye is right. Now, if you say that it keeps its heat the way a tanur does, so then even bekasha begavava nami lo, the way Abaye learned it, it was made more sense to me that the fuel was still in it. Omar le, it's very simple, says Rav Ashi. Look, it is definitely not a tanur. It's not trapezoidal. It doesn't have that thick siding on it. It's not going to keep its heat the way a tanur does. But on the other hand, it has a different heat fuel to airspace ratio, and it has a different amount of escaping heat than the kira does. So because of that, look, it's not so hard to understand. It's nafish havli midikira, retains heat. The hevel of it is retained better than a kira, but less than the hevel of a tanur, that's all. So because of that, we say there's a relationship in how it was fueled. Even though I understand your objection, and that obviously if I used enough kash and givava, that I had heated it up to the same point that it would have gotten heated with the eights and so on, then it's ridiculous to make the difference, unless the stuff was still inside. So then it would be burning out faster as opposed to the wood, which wouldn't burn out faster, which was the thing that made Abaye make the misassumption that he made. But you're not taking into consideration practicalities. When you utilize kash v'givava, the bottom line is you don't keep putting in kash v'givava for 2 hours until you achieve the same heat that you would have with the etzim. So it isn't just a function of what it is that you use. It's also a function of how, practically speaking, logistically, those type of fuels are used differently. And because of that, it's perfectly okay to say that in terms of heat retention, there's going to be a nafka mina between a kupach and a kira, and the heat retention itself will be a function of the fuel because of the way the fuel is used. So therefore, Abaye's understanding that, well, isn't it talking about that we used it in the same way and that we just left it inside, is wrong. It's not talking about that. And therefore, we made it make sense the way that we explained it. So it's nafish havli minakira and zufle zuter minatanur. By the way, can you just clarify the way that these two things are made? Hechi dami kupach and hechi dami kira exactly. On Reb Yosef Rechamim, it's very simple. A kupach only has one boiler on, one place for a pot. So it's got one burner, a burner being an open hole on top of the fuel that's on the inside of it. And it has only a shvisas kedera achas, whereas a kira is longer, and it has two openings for its two burners, so it has two holes on top. And a kira is a mokam shvisas shte kederas. Says Abaye, you know what? Obviously, anybody who's learning Shabbos has already learned kalim, right? Because, I mean, you got to finish the Mishnayos before you get to Shabbos. And in kalim, we learned that a kira shenechlecha laorka is tohora, but larochba is tmeah. Whereas a kupach bein laorko bein larochba is tohor. So what does that tell you? If you cut a kira into two parts along its length, so then it no longer is useful as a kli. So it loses. It's considered to be netitza. That's what netitza means. Yes, we have Naftali's picture there. Very nice. Whereas I don't think you really need a picture, though. Whereas if you cut it obviously widthwise, then you would basically have two kupachs with missing sides, you know. Okay, so then it's still usable. Masha'in ken a kupach, which is essentially square, it doesn't matter whether you took its length or its width. No matter how you cut it, man, it's no good because it can no longer hold a pot. So clearly you see that the kupach is made in a way that only has makom shvisas kedera achas. Okay, so with this, we've got a pretty good picture of all of the variables, including the interrelationship between the particular instrument of heating and the fuel that you use for heating, and the placement in it, on top, on the side, inside, and many of the other issues that we discussed. We'll go over it again one time, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, to go over all of the munachim and the different machlokasin, so that we can really feel we did a good job on Kira. And I'm telling you, man, if you come out of Kira knowing every single one of these possibilities, you've done a heck of a job of learning Kira, even though you haven't sat around and spent, 3 years, which people often do on Kira, in adding up every single case according to every single shita with all of the variables. You will have done the essential work, and we can all be proud of the Daf Yomi.